May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." There was certainly a lot of commotion around Jesus associating himself with sinners. Tax collectors and sinners in first century Palestine were lumped together. And it is not clear whether or not the group was despised because of their indifference to the Torah, the law, first five books of the Old Testament, or because of some kind of immoral behavior that they were suspected of. Regardless, Jesus uses this situation as an opportunity not to defend his own actions, which would probably be our natural impulse, would be to try to explain ourselves as to why we were at that dinner with those sinners and tax collectors. He does not defend what he has done, but rather he implies that the sinners point to the very nature of God, that God associates with sinners. God forgives the sinner who repents, who literally turns from his or her sins. Holy Scripture is not an historical document that we study. Each Sunday, as we gather as the community of faith at St. John's, we hear a lesson from the Old Testament, a lesson or reading from the New Testament, and then the gospel proclaimed. And we do not believe that it is some historical dead document, but rather that it is a living and breathing text in the midst of our lives. This past week, I saw a study which showed that the Bible is the most stolen book in America. Now, that probably has something to do not only with the stores, but also with hotel rooms and the Gideon Bibles. But the truth of the matter is that's probably not a bad thing that people are taking those with them. We often within this church have prayer books that leave, and I will give people prayer books if they ask for one, and then we replace them. It's not a bad thing, especially with reference to the Bible, because we believe that it is alive. That it is alive. Almost every week, when we watch the news, we hear of some famous person coming forward and saying, "I'm sorry for my sinful behavior." It's almost every week that someone admits or someone is convicted of something that they should not have done. What does today's readings and gospel in particular say to that? Well, Jesus tells them a parable, a short story with a pointed teaching. And he says to them, many of whom would have been shepherds, all of them would have been familiar with the practice and work of being a shepherd. He says to them, "Which of you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" Now, I want you with me to think about that The shepherds listening to that, and the others just surmising, would have said, none of us would leave the 99 to go after the one. Leave 99 sheep unprotected in the wilderness where the wolves will go after them? None of us. We'd let that one go, count it as a loss. And it might be that Christ is comparing God to a foolish shepherd who risks the safety of all of the others to save just one sheep. A good shepherd, in their eyes, would most likely not take such a chance, but this good shepherd would. Jesus' association with the sinner is a foolishness, if you will, like God's. God goes out of his way to find and to forgive the lost sheep, the person who has sinned. I will go after that lost sheep after the service. Liam. I know. It's hard. We have some others that sometimes want to cry too. Have you ever lost the remote control to your television? Have you ever lost your cell phone? I started to give up the contacts and wear glasses now, and of course the big problem will be I lose my glasses constantly. I lost my readers one after another. Now they're expensive, so I can't lose them. What happens when we lose our cell phone or we lose the remote? It's a crisis, isn't it? Right? A missing remote control can quickly become a significant crisis, as could a missing iPhone or BlackBerry. Who's watching the TV last? Do you have the remote? Where's the remote? Who has the remote? Have you seen my cell phone? Where did I leave my cell phone? Where are my glasses? Bishop Frank Allen in the Diocese of Atlanta, a good friend and a mentor of mine, retired now, he gave in. He lost so many pairs of glasses that he finally just wore the thing around his neck and had them. Yes, there you go. Exactly. Just like that. Just like Doris's, because he kept losing them. Most of us don't hang the remote around our neck, but some of you may. Hey, so it's a church that welcomes all. You know, it's okay. It's okay. But you know what a crisis it is, right? You search for it, you look for it, cushions fly, the cat runs off, the dog takes off, and then all of a sudden somebody says, I found it. Oh, and everybody goes, oh gosh, whew, happy. Breathe a sigh of relief. Life is okay. We can change the channel. The story of the lost coin is just such a frantic search. He says to his listeners, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? This is another parable, this time with a woman representing God and God's untiring search for the lost, for the sinner. Most significant to both of these parables is the exclamation of joy when the lost is found. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Or rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. It is parables about forgiveness. The one in need of forgiveness and the one who gives forgiveness. Forgiveness is a grace from God through Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ taught us is necessary to be in relationship. We cannot be in relationship with God if there is not forgiveness. That is why in just a few minutes we will kneel and say, most merciful God, I confess. We cannot be in relationship with ourselves if we don't know forgiveness and we don't let ourselves be the recipients of such forgiveness. And of course, we cannot be in relationship with another if there is not forgiveness. Forgiveness begins in the recognition that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes in this gospel passage, they see themselves as different. We're not like those people. We're not like those tax collectors and those sinners, Jesus, whom you somehow like to sit with and have meals with. We're not like those people. They're righteous in their eyes, so they grumble. Forgiveness begins for us as individuals when we are truly repentant for our sins. Things done, which we'll say, things left undone. And forgiveness does not mean that there is not consequences. Imagine God searching for you as if you were a lost coin, looking to find you, repenting and coming back to God as that shepherd with the sheep over his shoulders, carrying him back or her back, maybe for the first time. Until you find forgiveness, there is disunity and maybe even chaos in your life. Henry Nouwen said, there are two sides of forgiveness, giving and receiving. Although at first sight giving seems to be harder, it often appears that we are not able to offer forgiveness to others because we have not been able to fully receive it. Can you, when you kneel today and be truly repentant, accept the forgiveness that comes through God's grace as the priest pronounces that forgiveness? But it is God that forgives. Only as a people who have accepted forgiveness can we find inner freedom to give it. Community is about being able to forgive. Family is about being able to forgive. Friendship is about being able to forgive. One of the best understandings I recently came across is probably one of the hardest things for us, and that is once we have accepted God's forgiveness, to be able to forgive those who have truly hurt you. And probably everyone here has a person or persons that have done that. And it's written by a philosopher, theologian, Lewis Smedes. And when I say recently, I mean within the last 2 weeks I came across this. I now carry it with me on my iPhone. And this is what he said. Forgiving does not erase the bitter past. A healed memory is not a deleted memory. Instead, forgiving what we cannot forget creates a new way to remember. We change the memory of our past into a hope for the future. Who do you need to forgive? I had about 6 people I needed to forgive. And I have forgiven them. Because it is the only way that you can move forward with your life. That is the rejoicing that happens in heaven. You know, we cannot expect the secular to understand what we're talking about here. Either the media or the news or politics. They don't embrace forgiveness the way Jesus taught it. And that's a dilemma, but it's not our dilemma. In Christ Jesus, we are different. We are different because we can find solace in knowing that our God does forgive us. And by that, we are empowered to forgive the other. And this is good news in the midst of a lot which is bad. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God when we accept God's forgiveness and when we then can forgive those who have hurt us deeply. Amen.